haven't even paid the phone bill in 300 years.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, it's the Killer Bees.
Trolling is a art form. Got to be Weird Al. I wouldn't know. Joe, is this Weird Al?
I have no clue.
It's definitely Weird Al.
It has to be.
You don't know Amish Paradise?
What's the spoof on Gangsta?
Oh, this is what is? Yeah, I have heard the song.
What is it?
What is it? What paradise?
They're knocking Gangsta's Amish Paradise, but what is he saying?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I don't know if that. I think Weird Al would have had his Grammys taken away if they tried that one these days.
I don't. What?
I think he would offend people.
Would that offend people?
These
Amish
days,
paradise?
These days, I think it would.
Is that offensive?
It might be.
I don't know. I'm sincerely asking. I'm not questioning.
713-780-3776. Yeah, Let us know.
Is Amish Paradise, what did you say? Is it offending? Yeah, is it offensive? 9387, the Weird Al documentary with Daniel Radcliffe playing him was a spoof of his life.
Didn't know that either.
None of it was real. You clearly haven't seen the Weird Al movie. No, we haven't.
No.
He clearly was lying, telling untrue stories to make him look cool. I do that from noon to three. Every day, every weekday. 713-780-ESPN. I cannot believe how many people like Weird Al.
There's more than one person that has said Weird Al is the GOAT and referenced the Grammys.
Mr. Vegas says Weird Al is the GOAT. We're talking changing a song, making it as stupid as possible, and making millions off of it. Think about it. Y'all know how songs now, so just eat it. Look, I appreciate and respect the hustle. I'm just telling you, I think it's ridiculous and awful.
It kind of just shows you how stupid society can be, that someone can do something so mind-numbingly meaningless and make millions off of it. Yeah, you're right.
Weird Al is a treasure, says Largo. You guys are ridiculous. I cannot believe so many people like Weird Al. I am in disbelief. Andrew, do you like Weird Al? You're good-looking. You can say that. You know what's popular and what's not.
Not a huge fan of Weird Al, personally.
Now I feel better about myself.
I don't think he's great. I don't think he's terrible. Just sort of ambivalent towards him.
Yeah. You love the Jerry curl?
You're a what towards him?
Ambivalent.
Ambivalent?
Don't really feel one way or the other.
Okay. All right. There you go. Word of the day. You get that?
No, self-defecating is definitely the word of the day.
No, I'm saying, no, definitely. You're right. I agree.
Okay. Right.
I'm saying, do you get like a word of the day email, do you?
I do. That was not my word of the day.
You do?
That was.
So it probably has been in the past.
Ah, that's an SAT word. I've known that one for a long time.
You're smart. You're good looking and smart.
University of Houston Education Network.
You really
baby.
Didn't know that word?
No, I did, but it's not in my arsenal.
You're like everyday vocabulary?
No, yeah. It's not in my vernacular. What was your word of the day today?
Orrery, O-R-R-E-R-Y.
Didn't they make it to the College World Series?
That's Oral Roberts.
Oh, different things. Gotcha.
Or Centenary, where Robert Parrish played basketball.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He did play basketball there. I knew somebody that played softball at Centenary. Over the next 5 years, which team has the most playoff success? The Houston Rockets or the Houston Texans?
I'm going to say the Houston Texans. Ooh. I'm going to say the Houston Texans because I think that they have more of a direction going with prominent players that they figured out. Now, C.J. Stroud may not pan out. Will Anderson may not pan out. But as it stands today, looking at the rosters, the roles that are going to be played by the players that are going to play them, I think the Texans have more stability in terms of clearly defining the roles of the players they have. We're still trying to figure out, thanks to Steven Silas and his coaching staff and Rafael Stone and everybody involved on the Rocket side, what the full capabilities and repertoire is going to look like for all these players on this very young Rockets team. And the West is loaded. And we talked about the fact that Chris Paul going to Golden State, unbeknownst to Kelly Eco, makes the Warriors better. If you talk about the fact that you look at Beal going with Booker and KD, and no matter who they add around them, the Suns are going to be. And we haven't even talked about, I haven't even mentioned the world champion Nuggets and all the other teams that are getting better. I think the Rockets have a very, very steep uphill climb in the next couple of years to get back to close to on the road to where they used to be. I think the Texans have an easier road to get there. Their division doesn't look like it's too terrifying. And I think they have the right players in the right positions.
Could you say that about the AFC, though? Like everything you just said about the Western Conference, couldn't you say that about the AFC? Like you
but
got the
getting
Chiefs,
in
you
is easier
the
in the NFL than I think for the Rockets. The Rockets have to get through the play-in tournament, not just qualify for the play-in tournament. Then they got to play their way through it.
Yeah,
and I think they're a couple years away from that.
NFL has 7 teams now make the playoffs out of 16. The NBA, there's still 30 teams to make it. You got to be in the 6 and then play in out of 15. Like, it's pretty close, the ratio on that. I'm not very smart, so I can't do the percentages off the top of my head. But I think everything you said about the Western Conference is very similar to the
right.
AFC.
You're right about that.
Like, if it was the NFC or the East, I think that we talk about this differently. But I think that a good comparison is the AFC relative to the NFL, relative to the NBA.
But think about the division. To get in, the Texans could just back the division because it's bad.
And if
you look at the Rockets, I mean, Dallas is clear-cut, not going anywhere. They're trying to re-sign Kyrie. They're still going to have Luka.
It's Trevor Lawrence, Luka Doncic, 7137.
I mean, did you hear the bench this morning?
No.
Is Luka Doncic white? There was a major debate going on for multiple segments.
I've heard people have that conversation, but on the other end of the spectrum that I really don't want any part of.
They had two segments worth of it.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And they cut Gilbert short so they could keep talking about it. Lance says, we got to go, Gilbert, and he was only on for like 2 minutes.
Paul was probably happy about that.
Oh, I know he was.
Paul was probably happy about that. This is a difficult one for me because I think they're on the same plight. I think they have very identical plights between the Texans and the Rockets. Like, they both have very young cores that they're hoping develop into being a playoff-caliber team. You know, with the Rockets, it's Jabari, it's Alpe, it's Jalen. Now it's Thompson. With the Texans, it's Stroud, it's Anderson, it's Stingley, it's Petrie. You know, it's Mechie, perhaps. So I think it does come down to what you feel is a more difficult conference. Is it the AFC and the NFL? Is it the Western Conference and the NBA? I'm on the other side of it than you. I think it's the AFC in the NFL because you look at that division or the conference. You got Pat Mahomes in the Chiefs. You got Josh Allen in the Bills. You got Lamar Jackson in the Ravens. You got Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. You got Justin Herbert in the Los Angeles Chargers. Like, that conference is loaded, and they're loaded with young quarterbacks. Like, they're not the aging quarterbacks outside of the Jets. I think the AFC is more difficult than the West, so I'll go Rockets over the Texans here.
Don't you think, though, because of the fact that we know that Stroud's going to be given the role of star quarterback, no matter what, and those roles are already being filled. We don't know where Jalen Green's supposed to, and he has supposed to already have been the star player of this team. Now he has moments. So does Shingun.
Right.
So does KPJ.
True.
So do all these guys. But we don't know nearly as much about who's going to be either given that role, or is earned that role, where we know who's going to be in those key positions for the Texans.
We do, but haven't the Rockets shown more production in the NBA versus the NFL? Because, I mean, Jalen averaged over 20 a game, has tons of cleanups, far from a finished product, and hopefully Ime Udoka can kind of, you know, straighten him out, clean up some of the bad stuff. Alpe Şengün looks like he's a double-double guy. Jabari looks like he can be a double-double guy. You and I are down on Kevin Porter Jr. relative to, like, the rest of the Rocket fans. I'm curious what he's going to look like at the wing if they use him on the wing. But he's produced things in the NFL. You look at the Texans, C.J. Stroud's not played a snap in the NFL. Will Anderson's not played a snap in the NFL. Derek Stingley got hurt in his rookie year, didn't play many games. Petrie had a good rookie season. Harris had a promising rookie season. But I think the young players for the Rockets have produced at a higher level than the young players for the Texans relative to the professional league they're in.
I mean, that's fair. I just think when you look at overall what you're expecting from the players that you're counting on, I agree with you that Jalen Green has shown more. But I think that up until this season, we didn't know that there was going to be a franchise quarterback in this team's future, and we didn't know when they might take the first leap towards getting one, spending the draft capital, having the right draft capital to get one. And up until the end, we didn't know if it was going to be one or two. And it didn't work out in their favor, but they still got their guy. So we saw what we saw from the Rockets players, but they've been on the roster staggered at least a year, 2 years now, to where we know a little bit more. We don't know about the Texans, but we know that the division, they still have a chance to compete because the division's really bad. And because they get brought in some better free agents to kind of go around some of the better, lesser draft picks they brought in, like Pierce, like some of the other guys that are going to, Harris and Mechie and guys that we've talked about, It is. It's a tough call because of the fact you have a lot more in terms of defined role ability and athleticism and talent with the Texans than all the unknowns of the Rockets, but they played more games.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. 713-780-ESPN if you want to weigh in. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. 1984 says, I love the takes from Branham. He is the GOAT of Houston Sports Radio. Thank you for the kind words, 1984. I really appreciate that. Neither Rafael Stone or Nick Caserio, maybe, weird something. Neither Stone or Caserio has landed the number one pick. Which general manager in your mind has done the best job with the picks that they've had? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. I believe in the people at Apollo Men's Health, because they've gotten me results. They can do the same thing for you, too. It doesn't matter from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom. If you're having some problems and issues that you haven't experienced in the past and you think there's nothing that could be done to rectify them, all you got to go do is see my people at Apollo Men's Health. They're going to get you on the right track and get you feeling great again. They do it in a variety of different ways. They can do it if you don't have enough energy during the course of your day. And they can have all the different ways that you can get more energy on a daily basis, have more get up and go to get more things done off your to-do list. You want to lose weight? They have a new FDA-approved semi-glutide that can have you losing up to 6 pounds a week. When you do the math and figure that out month by month, you can lose a significant amount of weight, and it doesn't mean you have to go to the gym and burn yourself out and do all those other things that maybe you just don't feel like doing. If you do want to get back in the gym, they have everything to get you going, from a full body composition analysis to recovering quicker with HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies too. Now three locations to better serve you. The new one is now open in League City to go with those two locations near downtown Houston to better serve you. Go to their website right now, apollomh.com. Schedule your first appointment. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Free B12 shot or a free body comp on your first official visit. Check them out today. They can help you get going the right way. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
You're live in the Hive with the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston.
We are live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston, broadcasting live from a Sweet Scoops at Pleasure Pier. It's a pretty big troll. Everybody just eating ice cream right in front of us on a 100-degree day. What's your go-to?
Man, I got favorite ice cream of all time is probably either cookie dough.
Okay. Okay.
Cookies and cream.
You like cookies?
A little bit. With the cookie and ice cream mix is really, really good. Yep. Those are two of my all-time favorites.
You can't go wrong with a little simple strawberry ice cream.
I don't mind it, but it's not my go-to.
So good. AC, what's your go-to?
I can't do ice cream anymore. I'm dairy free. So right now,
when I did,
I would usually go strawberry or maybe a little vanilla.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy. But you're not eating it anymore, so more for me. That's good.
Joe George.
Is AC soft for being dairy free?
Yes.
A little soft in the middle. I mean, not soft in the middle.
Dairy free.
Is it soft going dairy free? Hey, Joe said yes.
It's challenging.
Joe was a quick yes.
You guys can duke that out tomorrow on the bullpen, Joe.
From 12
What's your
to 2.
Favorite, Joe? What's your go-to on a warm summer day?
Rocky Road.
He was promoting the bullpen?
I started it, and he finished it on a delay, which was sweet radio.
What's your go-to ice cream, Joe?
Rocky Road ice cream.
All right, we're going to try Joe later. 5194, Texans have a better chance at playoff success. Not only am I looking at the division, but the coach more importantly. This is a good conversation, 5194. I think Ime is great, but he has his baggage. I don't know if that affects his coaching prowess, though. I'm wary on his ability to lead a group of immature young men. I trust D'Amico will lead by example and have respect from the players immediately. That's an interesting take, because Ime Udoka has led a team to the NBA Finals, has had head coaching success. D'Amico Ryan's the first game of the Texan season will be the first game he's had as a head coach. I don't know if I've put more stock in D'Amico than Ime.
I had a friend of mine that's worked in the NBA for a long time question Ime Udoka's coaching prowess and how good he is this morning, and I was absolutely flabbergasted by it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I get the criticism off the floor, but this guy played in the league. He was Pop's assistant for years. He learned under Pop. He then went to Brett Brown. He took a team to the finals. He took a young team and molded them together and kept them together. He has defensive concepts and offensive concepts that play in today's NBA. I don't understand the criticism of Udoka, the basketball coach. I totally understand as the person off the floor, and that's fair.
I don't think it's. I don't know if that translates to the court, though.
Oh, like the off the court
like
does
that's
not.
That's the thing. Like, him
no.
having the stuff off the floor.
Means nothing to me.
He went to the finals.
From a basketball perspective, right. So what I'm saying is, in my opinion, as much as everybody, and they rightfully so, are jazzed for to have D'Amico. D'Amico has the most to prove. D'Amico yep. doesn't have the resume yet that Udoka has. Because as the leader of men, too, he's taken a team to the pinnacle, to the finals. He just hasn't won it. D'Amico has been a coordinator and a coach. He hasn't even led men yet in a head coaching position. So you don't know what you don't know as much as you feel really good about having the right guy in both scenarios.
Yeah. So to me, it's the one, and I believe in D'Amico. I have faith in D'Amico. I think the Texans hit a home run with the hire. I preferred Benny Johnson. I'm not going to backpedal, but D'Amico was my number two. So I love the idea of what D'Amico is going to look like as the head coach of the Texans. I hope he's here for 15 years. And I think it's possible. Like, I'm bullish on D'Amico. I haven't been this excited for Houston Texans season since a really, really long time. I was never even up for the Bill O'Brien playoff team seasons because I never felt that team was going to, you know, reach the pinnacle. And not that the Houston Texans are anywhere close to that, but I feel like they're heading in the right direction. I feel like they're trending up. And it excites me about the Houston Texans and an excitement level with the Texans that I haven't felt in a long time, if I'm being completely honest. But I can't say that D'Amico Ryan's is a better head coach than Ime Udoka. D'Amico's never coached an NFL game as a head coach. He was a DC for a defense that was already really good before he took over the reins of Robert Saleh.
If you're looking
Udoka
for clicks,
went to the finals.
If you're looking for clicks, if you're looking to generate conversation, then fine. Tell me that and stick to it and try and fight your way out of it. I can't see anybody with a rational way of thinking that can think that, because I'm like you. I believe in D'Amico.
I can see from homerism, though.
Oh,
like, I really
sure.
can.
The Kool-Aid drinkers, I was going to say, is the only one where I can understand that point of view and standing on a hill and fighting for it.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, you just look at the bodies of work for both guys and go, I believe in D'Amico, and I think he's going to be great, but we don't know until we see him do it.
And he might be better. He might
Possibly.
Be better. But currently, right now, there's Ime's resume and there's D'Amico's resume. I would take Ime's resume before I would take D'Amico's resume. 5798 Blankers, get that cookie two-step. It's the cookie dough and cookies and cream combined.
Might be a bit much, but I'd try it. Sounds good.
In the wife away.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, this weekend. Get yourself some cookie two-step, watch your shows, and I think you have a Saturday and Sunday
plan. Even when the wife is here. On the weekends, believe me, I'm getting my ice cream. Don't worry about it.
AR Platinum says Millennium Crunch.
What's that? Best,
I've never had Millennium Crunch.
What consists of a Millennium Crunch?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know what's in it. 8830, this one's for AC. They have dairy-free ice cream.
Yes, they do. My wife could tell you that.
They do. And let me tell you, oat milk ice cream does not taste the same as dairy milk ice cream.
Shocker.
Coconut
Stunning.
Milk?
I haven't tried the coconut milk yet, but oat milk?
Yeah,
definitely no.
Lisa has a
How
couple
do you milk
of different
an oat?
Dude, get in the lab. Did you see this now that they have chicken breasts made completely from no animal?
I believe it.
And they're like making it, and I forget how they're getting the protein or whatever in it, but they're making completely engineered chicken now. I don't even want to try it.
This is not good for us. I'm sorry, but chemically engineered chicken, I'm just going to guess, isn't great for us. As human beings.
They're saying it would still have the same like nutritional content and all that, which I don't understand how that happens either. But
it can't be good. It can't be good.
To Andrew's point, though, Lisa does try all that different ice cream, so there are varieties for you if you want to get the sweet tooth without using the dairy.
Neither Stone or Casario has had the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Which general manager do you think has done the best job with the picks that they've had?
See, I give Stone credit for making the trade that got them Şengün a year ago.
Yeah, that was a good trade.
That was a really good trade. But I also take away credit when you've drafted Josh Christopher and Garuba, that when you could have had your boy from U of H, you could have had Quentin Grimes, you could have had other guys that have really, really could have helped this team. And again, I don't think that he had to do a whole lot to get the guys that he got. He got what was left from the top tier, the years that he was drafting. From the standpoint of Casario, I think he overextended himself with the trade. Obviously, we have to wait a couple years to see how the trade really will be evaluated and how it plays out. But you and I both were on the same page, and I was very, very adamant about the fact that If this was the Cleveland pick, I think that he did a great job. Because it was the Houston pick, I have a lot of concerns and reservations about the fact that he – and then seeing the video from the Arizona perspective of how the conversation went on the phone, it didn't seem like there was, you know, a pushback or a push to take the Cleveland pick and then, you know, the Cardinals saying it's either this or no go. That concerns me even more. So I always say that you rate your general managers based on the first big move that they made. If Stone's move was the Harden trade, I don't think they won that trade. And that's me personally. You know I've always said that.
This is more about draft picks, though, the way you phrased the question. And, like, I don't know if I hate the Harden trade. Like,
I hate it.
You wanted players back where I was cool with going all-out rebuild. Like, the Cam Whitmore pick was because of the Harden trade. But like, you had that pick. That was part of that.
The centerpiece of what you ended up getting back at the end of when all was said and done of that trade was Kelly Olynyk. And that's a failure to me.
I mean, Cam Whitmore is more of a centerpiece than Kelly Olynyk.
You would hope. I mean, if that's what you're hoping it is, then I still think it's a loss.
But he made
getting
that,
James Harden in his prime.
He made that trade with the future in mind, in my opinion.
He made it with a team that he felt that he had to do to obligate the guy he was
maybe
sending away.
Maybe so.
And that bothers me.
Yeah, I get that. Those are fair points. But my contentions about the value of what you got back. Like, the value of what you got back was expiring contracts and draft picks. It wasn't because we want Kelly Olynyk to, like, be a franchise player. I think that the answer is Stone over Caserio here. Like, Caserio might have some real big misses. I don't know if Rafael Stone has real big misses when it comes to drafting.
But like, it's hard to miss when you draft as high as they were drafting.
Texans have drafted high. They drafted Derek Stingley.
His first year, he didn't have a first or second round pick.
He drafted Derek Stingley and Kenyon Green.
Oh, no, I get that.
If we are like nitpicking here for the sake of this conversation, I don't think Rafael Stone has missed. Yes, whenever you have better picks, it is harder to miss. But Jalen Green is fine for wherever he got picked. Alpe was fine, and you made the trade. That's fine. Jabari didn't have a great rookie year, but you picked third. No one questioned that pick whatsoever. That's fine. Yeah. Amin Thompson, you got what's left. No one's really questioning that pick. You get a little bit lucky that Whitmore falls all the way to 20 when he would look like a top 10 pick. But Nick Caserio might have real misses on his hand. And, like, I'm not gonna discount him for third-round picks and things like that. Now, the good GMs hit on those picks, but Nick Caserio's got some hits there. I mean, he hit on Damian Pierce. He's drafted okay in the middle rounds. But we might be looking at Derek Stingley Jr. over Sauce Gardner. Like, Rafael Stone doesn't have that to his name.
Christopher and Garuba were misses.
Sure, but if Josh Christopher dropping, like, the pick would have been there with Quentin Grimes. You not taking Josh Christopher, you're taking Quentin Grimes, that would have been a better pick. That is not nearly as big a delta as Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner.
Yep.
So, and I'm not writing that story yet. I'm not closing the book yet. Stingley, Sauce Gardner might have had his best year. I don't believe this, but Sauce Gardner might have his best year be his rookie season. That might be his peak, his best year ever. Maybe Stingley passes him up someday. But as we talk right now, that is a pretty big miss. And that might not even been his worst pick in that draft.
Yeah, Kenyon Green looks,
Kenyon
really bad
Green
right
looks
now.
Like a worse pick than Derek Stingley, and Stingley got picked over Sauce, and it's not even his worst pick. So, like, Rafael Stone doesn't have as big a swing and misses to his name as Nick Caserio potentially has to his name.
As it relates to drafts, I will agree with you. As it relates to the overall performance of both guys, I think it's a really good conversation because I think you can
– I'm
not
sure Nick has won a trade, though.
You can talk about successes. You can talk about failures. And I think he – and you and I differ on this. I think – based on the circumstances with the no trade, I think he handled and worked his way, matriculated his way through what otherwise was a very, very tough to win situation in terms of a quarterback with a no trade, getting as much as he got back.
But he did have four teams knocking on his door with three first rounders ready to give him.
But he had to work. The fact that he worked out the deals ahead of time and that he actually got ahead of the game before it was last minute, they drop on you. No, sorry, here's where I want to go. It's only them. And now you panic and you got to get into it and really dig your heels in. I think he did. He got out in front of that and he handled it better than I think most general managers would have.
713-780-ESPN HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Stone or Caserio? We're broadcasting live from Sweet Scoops at Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Great spot. Come hang out here at Pleasure Pier. Say hello to us as you're riding all the rides, the amusements, the games, all of that. Swing on by, say hello to us. Will House will be here until 7 o'clock as well. Every day, 2:30, our Will of Bits. We never know what we're going to get. All Joe has told us today. Overrated, underrated, properly rated. We'll see where this goes. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
It's the Wheel of Bits on the Killer Bees.
Kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. I'm going to get me some kibbles and bits.
Who knows the bits the bees will begrudgingly bite? Well, let's find out.
It's time for overrated, underrated, proper rated.
Here's Joel and Jeremy. And Joe.
All right. Every day, 2:30. Our Wheel of Bits. We're doing this one live from Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Great spot to spend your summer. This is really right on the water. Tons of amusements. And we're inside Sweets Groups at Pleasure Pier. Really good ice cream here as well. All right, Joe, what is our Wheel of Bit today? What are we doing today?
All right, so today we are doing overrated, underrated, properly rated. So I have three different things we can talk about, and you'll decide which category each thing belongs in. I was listening to an interview on the Dan Patrick Show, and I think it was Chris Mannix said
that. You weren't listening to ESPN 975?
I listen to the podcast sometimes after hours. And Chris Mannix said,
"Nice cover, nice cover."
Chris Mannix said that Wembanyama has a 0.001% chance to be a bust. So it got me wondering: is Victor Wembanyama overrated, underrated, or properly rated right now?
How many of these we got here?
Three.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now. I think there's a really good chance that he could be overrated. I think that. When you talk about a guy, no matter what his skill set looks like playing in the league that he played in to get drafted where he got drafted and all the hype that comes with it and all the pressure that's going to be piled on him on top of it, he's got smaller guys that have better handles, that are quicker and more athletic if he's going to try and be a guard forward. He can get his shot off, but can he get it off consistently and make them consistently with grown men at every position coming at him? If he saw the guys that he saw in the league that he played in trying to play defense on him in the low post and all over, has he felt grown men that are going to pound him, put a body on him, and try and keep him out with more physicality than he's ever seen in his life? So I think that that's a pretty big overstep to say that there's only a small percentage that he could fail.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of guys. Chet Holmgren might not ever be able to stay healthy. Plus, because of those long legs, they're more vulnerable when guys fall on the floor and do things, too, that we just don't know. I'm not trying to jinx him, and I don't wish bad on him, but I think a lot of people already anointing him. This is more like the Patrick Mahomes conversation, but Mahomes did some things. Like, he has done nothing yet, hasn't won a Super Bowl, hasn't won an MVP, hasn't done the things when Mahomes started getting the whole, this could be the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that came after a Super Bowl. I think this is more
Rhodes
like...
Rhodes called him the greatest maybe draft pick in any sport ever.
Yeah, it's like Caleb Williams almost.
It's like you can't do that to the guys that not only were picked where they were picked, but then lived up to it, starting with LeBron.
It's such a high bar, like the one you just said, that he's the greatest draft pick ever or the greatest prospects ever. I probably have to lean over. I think that there's a much higher bust rate than whoever Joe said that he has.
Is it Mannix or Lowe?
It was
Mannix. It doesn't matter. Okay. But they showed that graphic yesterday on the draft, like all of the players that are 7'5 and taller, and Yao Ming's the greatest 7'5 taller player in the history of the game. And his career was derailed by injury.
Sure,
Yao Ming was drafted a year before LeBron James. Let that resonate. Let that sink in. 1 year before LeBron was Yao Ming's the year that he was drafted. And it feels like an eternity ago that Yao Ming retired because of injury. So math is not on the side of guys that big. So there's bust potential with the injuries, if we're including injuries as bust. But also, like, I'm really curious how Popovich is going to use him, because he's not a great three-point shooter. He has potential to be a good three-point shooter, but Popovich really isn't in the business of letting bad shooters shoot threes. Also, like, he's like, to what you mentioned about his strength, like, he's not a very big, imposing, strong player. He's long, he's tall, he can get his shot up. So, like, what is the best way to give him the basketball? I think it's in the high post.
How do you maximize his abilities right now as Greg Popovich? I don't think he's a good enough face-up player.
I think it's his best bet, though. Like, you're not going to, like, low post with him, with lack of strength he has?
What I was going to say is I don't think he's a good enough face-up player from the three-point line and a little in, right? And I don't think he's a post-up player at all to get his shot off against a lot of – even a Bam Adebayo is going to body him up and have a good chance to at least, you know, really reasonably – put up a defense on his shot.
But if you just give him the ball, like, in the medium post,
I think he can just rise and fire. You know, and everybody says the mid-range is such a lost art form, but I think his best chance to be successful is more along the mid-range where he doesn't have to – he's not going to outquick you for too long.
Yeah.
But with one jab step, he can get a clean shot from a shorter distance and he could probably make it.
Honestly, if I was Popovich, I would do to him what Van Gundy did to Yao. I'm trying to get him big and I'm trying to make him the greatest low-post player in the NBA. I think that is the best way to for him to reach his ceiling. I don't think he's ever going to be a quick perimeter Kevin Durant guard.
No, absolutely.
I think he's got a much better chance to be a dominating postman.
That's why it's so unfair for Holmgren and him to be compared to Kevin Durant. And I think that Victor has a better chance than Holmgren to be closer to KD in terms of the fluidity and athleticism on the wing.
Right.
But I think because of how long their legs are and how tall they are physically – it's harder to be quick. It's harder to do the things to take advantage of your matchups. And that's why I think that it's unfair, and it's not his doing. It's people in the media and otherwise that are anointing him to these things and where he is drafted. But I think he's going to have a tough time living up to that.
I think he has a really good chance to be great, but the greatest draft pick of all time makes him overrated. I think there's a better chance for him to take advantage of his matchups by his athleticism at the five than with his size on the perimeter. I think where he has a chance to exceed more than anything.
I think his most effective game early on is putbacks and around the basket.
And like catch and shoot. But he's not a great three-point shooter now.
No, but you're not calling plays for him. But he's picking up the trash and he's putting it away because with his reach and where he gets in position, he can hammer the ball on people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So both a little overrated here. All right, what's number two here, Joe George?
All right, Amen Thompson said yesterday after he got drafted he wanted to fly in some In-N-Out. And then, of course, Whataburger. They chose San Antonio over Houston. They said the W stands for Wembanyama. But we'll just go In-N-Out Burger here. Just the burger, because we know the answer about the fries. An In-N-Out cheeseburger. Overrated, underrated, properly rated.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your stream inside of Sweet Scoops at Pleasure Pier. What was that again?
You didn't hear any of it?
Can you repeat?
Overrated.
I heard In-N-Out and Whataburger.
Is In-N-Out overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Overrated.
In-N-Out cheeseburger?
Yeah.
Oh, underrated. In-N-Out cheeseburger is fantastic. In-N-Out cheeseburger is tremendous. In-N-Out cheeseburger is the best, is the second best fast food cheeseburger that exists.
Well, you caught yourself.
Well, what do you think's first?
Oh, Whataburger.
Culver's.
Oh, really?
I'll take Culver's cheeseburger fast food over anything else. In-N-Out cheeseburger is second on my list. Now, as an establishment, as a full operating restaurant, fast food restaurant, Whataburger with their I guess variants, with their options,
variety of menu
items, with their variety, it takes the trump card over In-N-Out. But an In-N-Out cheeseburger is better than a Whataburger cheeseburger.
I was never wowed by an In-N-Out cheeseburger. I just wasn't. Now,
are you wowed by a Whataburger cheeseburger?
I like the flavoring of a Whataburger cheeseburger. I like the freshness of a Whataburger cheeseburger. I would go Whataburger over In-N-Out.
Okay, I'm going In-N-Out cheeseburger. What are you going with there, Joe? Respect your food takes.
I'm an In-N-Out guy. I think that their cheeseburger is elite. The fries suck. We all know it, but the In-N-Out burger is awesome. I don't think there's any question about that. It's very good, and people let the fries. I think it just tastes better. Honestly.
People pander. People pander to being Houstonians and Texans when they have that take.
Is that the thickness of the burger or what?
It just tastes good. It's fresh, man. The lettuce, the tomatoes, they're so fresh. It's so good.
Because how many people?
There's one in the Woodlands now.
Mm, that's true. How many people go to Whataburger and get just the cheeseburger?
Yeah,
why would you? You don't have to.
I get the cheeseburger at Whataburger, but that's the
point. Why would you just go cheeseburger and fries? I mean, you're saying that because the fries suck at In-N-Out?
No, he's saying most people go to Whataburger and don't order the cheeseburger, and he's saying that's telling, which is a good point. It's a good point. All right, what you got for number three here, Joe?
All right, this one, inspired by a photo today. CJ Stroud is hanging out with Chad Johnson. So Chad Ochocinco, the player, overrated, underrated, properly rated.
Huh.
Wow, I think based on self-proclamation of how great he was, the answer to me is overrated, because I think that, he's talking about racing horses that race. He's talking about, all of his prowess in video games and soccer and all these other things. But as a receiver, I mean, he had some years, but I don't think he wanted to make you feel like there was competition for Jerry Rice and some of the best to ever do it. So I think that a lot of marketing and hype made Chad Johnson, in my mind, and Ochocinco, overrated.
I like that you're outside the box thinking there. For me, it's more about how he was rated amongst people who do the ratings. I think he was properly rated. At his peak, he was one of the best receivers in the NFL. He had a period of time where he was one of the best receivers in the NFL. I don't think we view Ocho Cinco as like an all-time great. I don't think he is an all-time great. But we also like have a healthy respect for who he was as a player with his accolades and his resume. I'll go properly rated.
He views himself
Ocho Cinco.
If that's the bar, then
he's overrated. I'm going by the bar of, like, the general population, sure. Like the general consensus. Your way of arguing it, I wouldn't disagree with. I'm just using a different barometer than you are. All right.
Wait, where's Joe got him?
Where do you have him, Joe?
I have properly rated because I do think at times there was a conversation about, you know, Randy Moss, Chad Johnson. Like, he was an elite wide receiver for a couple years, and I think he gets overrated and underrated at times because of his antics. So I think it falls, like, right in the middle, honestly.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Joe picking a side. I like it. All right, what do we expect for the Astros in L.A.? Is Bill Plaschke going to get his wish? Are the Dodger fans going to rip the Astros anew? And what do we want to see from the Astros in the City of Angels going up against the Dodgers? Also, in honor of being inside of Sweet Scoops at Pleasure Pier, what is your favorite ice cream? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Road again.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Pleasure Pier in Galveston, it's the Killer Bees.
It is the Killer Bees. We are at Sweet Scoops at Pleasure Pier in Galveston. Will House will be here until 7. So if you're heading out to Pleasure Pier, make sure you swing on by, heckle things at them, let them know how much you like them. I'm going to go ride the rides here in a little bit. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
You got the entire fam here, so you are going to
I do.
You're going to have a heated, fun-filled afternoon.
Branham baby, Branham boy, and Branham wife are all here. J.P. France on the mound today on the road again to L.A. 2-2 record, 3.42 ERA. Something called Sheehan is on the mound. Emmett Sheehan on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers, making his second start. In his first start, he did not give up a run. The Astros usually don't fare well with pitchers they've never seen before, especially one managed by Dusty always talks about that. You know, hitters don't hit well with pitchers they've never seen before. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with
the
Astros today.
Did they see any of the Cincinnati pitchers before? Because they made them look like Cy Young candidates.
No, they didn't.
There you go.
They didn't. What do you want to see from the Stros in L.A. going up against the Dodgers? You win a series in L.A., I'm pleased.
If you take 2 out of 3 in this series, especially because you're not getting the front of your starting rotation, which would have made this a whole different conversation, but the fact that if you're relying on the back end of your rotation and you can get 2 out of 3, be a massive coup for this team, especially with the injuries and the underperforming on this homestand and all the things that people were pointing a finger and getting hypercritical again about. If you can go into the hostile environment, which we know they can feed off of, but we also know that there's only a couple guys that are still on this team that have fed off all of the animosity, which is Bregman and Altuve.
Yep.
It's the other guys that don't deserve the hate that get it anyway and how they deal with it. And we'll see, because Corey Jolks has never been in that environment. And you know, you're looking at guys like Jake dealing with it. And
he's been in the box in front of 7,000 screaming LSU fans when he won the 2014 Baton Rouge Regional against the likes of Aaron Nola and Alex Bregman, though.
Completely.
What is worse, the screaming fans at LSU or the screaming fans at Dodger Stadium?
Completely apples to apples, right? Not. I think that the Dodger hostility.
What is a more hostile environment?
I mean, when Mary Hart gets her pipes focused, she can rip you a new one like nobody's business.
I mean, I'm saying it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but what is a more hostile environment?
There's no doubt Dodger fans.
LSU fans or Dodger fans?
Putting the Astros in Dodger Stadium.
I don't know, man.
You didn't need Bill Plaschke to know that they're coming at you 100 miles an hour. They're not afraid to start fights in the stands. They're not afraid to say anything to the team. I just wish that they had better pitchers in this series. But I hope maybe this is something like an extra kick in the backside that gets this team motivated, fired up, and they've been known to step up in the past. Where this gets them going in the right direction.
A Dodger fan more likely to kill you. A night game in Baton Rouge, though, hostility there. Have you heard the story about how Curb Your Enthusiasm got a convicted murderer off of it?
I did. Yeah. I did see that story. Yeah, with Dodger Stadium and the episode when he picked up the girl and he brought her to a game.
Yeah, girl, let's call it that.
Yeah, I kept it PG.
That's right, because he was alleged to murder like his ex girlfriend or something like that. And his alibi was he was at the Dodgers game, but had nothing to prove it.
Right.
And then they found in like one of the footage and one of the scenes. And it actually wasn't in the scene. I don't think it made it to
It was on the cutting room floor. It was B-roll from the actual scene.
Yeah, they found him actually in the seats and was obviously he was innocent. He didn't kill the woman because he was at the Dodger game. Thank you to Larry David and thank you to Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Pretty
I love
pretty
that show.
Good.
France, Blanco, and Hunter Brown, the pitching matchup. So that's kind of what you were referring to. The Astros not with their horses.
What are the Dodgers
no
throwing?
The Dodgers have the ERA advantage in every single matchup. Now, Sheehan tonight, just his second start this season, but has not given up a run. They throw Miller tomorrow, who's been really good.
Yeah,
3-1, 283 ERA to Blanco's 466. And then Tony Gonsolin.
The Catman.
4-2, 292 ERA to Hunter Brown's 378. So the Dodgers starter has a better ERA in every start.
Who's a bigger Catman, Gallant or Gonsolin?
I don't know Gonsolin's story.
Gonsolin's a big fan of cats.
How do you know this?
Because they did it on the All-Star game when he made the All-Star team. They did a feature on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that about I guess him. Paul's got one cat.
Well, I mean, does Bill Plaschke write an article about the Dodgers video coordinator tomorrow to kind of even the field? Probably not. I know Mookie and J.D. Martinez are glad that they have that guy in the video room, and their stats show it. Look, I'd love to just once again stick it to the Dodgers. They forget about everything that happened after 17, like winning another World Series and doing all the things they've done since. And they obviously completely missed the fact that there's only two active players on the roster from 17. But, you know, have at it. Keep it, please. Try and keep it safe and clean, no matter what you yell. And I don't expect what they yell to be clean. But I hope it fires up the Astros, and I hope it gets this team kickstarted again in the right direction.
A few people weighing in on their favorite ice cream since we are broadcasting inside a Sweet Scoops at Pleasure Pier, which one of my favorite broadcast spots we've ever been. Pleasure Pier is awesome. Ice cream's awesome. And I have the sunglasses in hand. Cody, who's here before his show, which is great, he says Moose Tracks. I've never heard of it, but he explained it, and it sounds very good. It's vanilla with a little chocolate. Classic vanilla with chocolate on top of it and some sprinkle, but I don't like the fudge. Give me chocolate syrup over fudge.
I agree with
unpopular
that.
Unpopular take,
no,
I admit, but give me that over
not
the fudge.
Not often that we get to this point. I totally agree with you. I don't like the consistency of the fudge and the way when it goes on hot, melts the ice cream, and then it kind of hardens up.
Right, it dominates the flavor.
That. I don't
it dominates
care for
the
that.
Flavor. Yeah. I like a good little sundae with chocolate syrup over the fudge.
I know you won't agree with me
I
on
eat
this
like a
one,
child.
But an underrated but very, very good ice cream is either cherry cheesecake or strawberry cheesecake ice cream.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
I've never had that.
Get the little graham cracker crunch in there, too. It's phenomenal.
That sounds terrific. I'm in for that. Jake said chocolate chip cookie dough, which is something that you like, too, or anything with brownie in it. He's a big chocolate guy, it sounds like. Another unpopular Branham take. I don't love chocolate. I don't dislike chocolate, but I'm never, like, craving chocolate.
Is that like Palillo and cheese?
I don't know Palillo's cheesesteak.
Palillo doesn't like cheese, but he'd eat it on a cheesesteak.
I like cheese because I love cheeseburgers. We had this conversation the other day. I love cheesesteaks. Sometimes I just eat cheese as a snack. So, no, I like cheese. But I see the
what do you call that thing that you get into? That
a charcuterie board?
There you go.
Those are great. Yeah. I love those. Those are so good.
You find out things about ghosts you never should find out when you play that game.
I think it's a little different board.
Oh, sorry.
That you're talking about. 4608 gold medal ribbon at Baskin-Robbins. I've never had that. Do you know what a gold medal ribbon is, Stutes?
Oh, Cody's giving
us. What's the base flavor?
The big head bob.
Chocolate vanilla swirl. That sounds pretty good. Must be Bluebell mint chocolate chip.
Nothing mint for me.
Branham Kid just had that. I don't dislike mint, but it's not my favorite. It's probably like third tier. Second to third tier.
Mint chocolate chip ruins chocolate chip ice cream.
I could see that.
I don't want mint in with the chocolate chip. Chocolate chip by itself is good enough.
I pretty much eat everything, especially if it's not good for you. But there's certain tiers to this. 2158 Bluebell's banana pudding is an excellent ice cream. Have you ever had that?
No.
I love banana pudding. Banana pudding might be my favorite dessert. I've never had the Bluebell banana pudding.
Banana pudding might be your favorite dessert?
It's in my top tier, yeah, absolutely. I love banana pudding. No. Love banana pudding.
If you're like at a wedding or a party and that's the only dessert they're
love
serving.
I have a lot in my top tier. Like banana pudding's in my top tier. Tres leches is in my top tier. A cheesecake is in my top tier.
Cheesecake's great.
Love cheesecake.
You like bread pudding?
You know what's weird? I love cheesecake, but I don't like cream cheese. That makes sense. I can't do it. No, I don't really like it. It's, again, I will eat bread pudding. I'm not turning it down, but I'll never order it on a menu.
The one that is like you either love it or you hate it is carrot cake, and I hate it.
I don't dislike carrot cake.
I hate it.
I'll eat carrot cake, too. I never order it, but I'll certainly eat carrot cake.
Total waste of a dessert.
Brendan Riley, who got fired from the Killer Bees, he would have that in his food tree in the vegetables category.
Yes, he would. You're right.
2912, the new Dr. Pepper float ice cream from Bluebell slaps. Food smacks, doesn't slap.
You've had it, right?
I have had it. It's solid.
Okay.
It's solid. I think I'd rather have a Coke float than a Dr. Pepper float ice cream.
I was just
going to
say, I grew up in the Midwest where root beer floats and Coke floats were a big thing.
Yeah.
Coke floats are amazing.
Yeah, I like Coke floats a little bit more. I love malts. I'm going to have a malt here in a few hours, by the way.
Okay.
2108, Blankers loves ketchup ice cream.
No, I don't.
Can
not
you
at all.
Confirm or deny?
I love ketchup, and I love ice cream. I do not love ketchup ice cream.
What's the Wheelhouse going to lead off their show with today?
The heat and the glaring sun of the Pleasure Pier while everything is laid out for us for the weekend here at the Pleasure Pier to finish out the weekend the right way.
I say they're going to lead off with how Moose Tracks ice cream has better ROI than Kenyon Green at left guard.
You got to look at the tape for that. You got tape for that?
What's that?
Get the tape to prove that?
Maybe.
The reps? No.
I need to try Moose Tracks ice cream is what I need to know.
It's all good. Right.
It does it for us. Thanks to Joe George doing all the hard work behind the glass. Thanks to beautiful Andrew Carlson for engineering on site here at the Pleasure Pier. For Blankers, I'm Bradham. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.